Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Frank Lampard. Legendary midfielder, slightly less legendary manager, and most famously of all, prolific author. You might remember last series we read and discussed just how Frank Lampard's autobiography, Totally Frank, is, but he's also written a series of kids' books, the Frankie's Magic Football series. And as it's Christmas, we've tracked down one of the most festive editions of the series, Frankie's Magic Football, The Great Santa Race. The book is aimed at ages 6 through 8, but what will the book club, aged between 30 and 34, think of it? Find out on today's Football Book Club Christmas Special.
It's like a cross between Green Street and Narnia.
Well, at one point, they're like, oh, I think he's just shopping for Nan's present. It's like, what, for 24 hours? Where is he?
Oh, no, the penguins are in their element.
Super goal!
But what about the Santa race?
Oh, who gives a fuck about the Santa race, James?
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less William Blake, more Nathan Blake.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. That is good. Wait till you hear
you know
what came up with it.
I want to come in straight away and say that is good.
That is good. That is good. And as it's Christmas, thanks Daniel Jolly for that one. What a Christmas name. Daniel
Great
Jolly,
name.
Exceptional name at this time of year, and the rest
who
of the
does,
year.
Who does William Blake play for?
William Blake.
Yeah, he's just a little Christmas joke there. Just a Christmas. Joke.
Just
a
Christmas.
It's a good cracker joke. That
that's very funny actually. I'm James Burke, and over the weeks we'll be reading such classics as Ewan Roberts's "All I Want for Christmas" and Jens Sleiman's "The Man That Sits on the Pitch."
Oh my god.
It's really hard to find more than one footballery pun name, so I made it up. What a stretch, but today we're reading Frank Lampard's children's Christmas classic, Frankie's Magic Football, : The Great Santa Race. And joining me to read it are Jack Bernhardt.
Yep.
You're still not over Jens Sleiman?
No, okay. I'm not happy about a lot of things. I'm not going to get into this, but...
Welcome, Natasha Frisco.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, that is Christmassy. And welcome, Jays Balgian.
Oh, yeah. I liked Sleiman.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I did
you
like him.
Thank you very much.
I think with these kinds of things, you can't start mixing puns in with footballers' names at this stage. You've already got a puns footballers' name section. The idea that James is suddenly going to start adding in puns everywhere, like, where does it end? Does every line have to have a pun after, you know, like, what's going on, James?
Jack has firmly erased his role as the David Mitchell of this podcast. He sounded so much like David Mitchell on any panel show just then.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, a pun, is it? What's the point? Oh, I hope you're having a great time with your puns.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas. Oh, it's Christmas-ish. It's December the 11th. It's almost Christmas. How are we feeling? Christmassy already?
Oh, yeah. I start getting festive in about September, me.
Oh, interesting.
Do you?
What's your routine?
Yeah. Pretty much as soon as it gets below about 8 degrees, the Baileys is out and that's it. I'm drunk till January.
Okay, right. Nice. Wow, you must be incredibly drunk by now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been 3 weeks.
What? What happens if it gets below 8 degrees, like in February?
You know when you see like butterflies come out when in the winter because like they've had one sunny day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah, yeah,
yeah. me. I'm like in Tesco pouring at the alcohol section because I've got no Baileys in.
Oh my god.
A cold snap in March sends me.
Well, that's it. The rest of the year is a write-off. Yeah. It's slightly cold in March.
Everyone else feeling Christmassy now?
I am. I'm not Christmassy because of this book. Obviously not.
Okay.
And we'll get into why.
That was going to be my next question. Has the book helped make you more Christmassy?
I have it. So it's we're recording this at not December the 11th,
mm-hmm.
but I have actually already started. The tree is up in my
house.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
It is very pre-December the 11th. Should I say what day it is? It is the 27th of November.
There we go. Yeah, 27th of November.
And my tree is up. So
when did it go up?
Heathen. It went up yesterday.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And so we've watched The Grinch, Who Stole Christmas, the really sexy one.
Oh,
the one that's unnecessarily
not
sexy.
The recent one, the Jim Carrey,
not the animated one. Yeah. We've watched the sexy one,
the horny Grinch,
and Camille was okay with it. It was weird. Oh, she was okay. Sort of like, I was thinking she'd be scared. There was a bit where at one point there's a bit where the Grinch goes like the Grinch, and she was like, ooh, and then she sort of warmed up, and then midway through the Grinch starts a fire, and she turned to me and went, fire.
Whoa, so, that is worrying.
That's slightly worrying.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I'm feeling pretty Christmassy, I guess.
That's good.
I was watching The Grinch the other day, and he was eating glass, and I was like, oh, if a kid's watching him eating glass.
There's so much of that movie you couldn't do now. Yeah. Not even, like, there's a bit where the Grinch eats chewing a plate on a bottle as well. There's obviously the bit that everyone talks about, which is the swingers scene, mm-hmm. where they're having a party and there's a big bowl of keys.
Is that Jeffrey Tambor? I imagine.
Yeah,
that.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
There's a bit where
the one out of where
the Grinch says, "We're all gonna die. We're all gonna die. I'm gonna throw up. We're all gonna die." None of these things you could do in a kid show now.
I watched Violent Night the other day because it was on Sky Movies. It was all right, but it's definitely not for Camille. I would say that.
Yeah,
that's one that I don't.
Was there a lot?
Do you remember
fire?
That thing that happened? Was it last year? No. Was it last year where that mum hired the Grinch to come and
wrecked the house?
Yes. Yeah.
Every time it makes me laugh.
It's very funny. It's also what you would expect from a Grinch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
I'd be livid if one came round and just like sat down and had a cuppa.
Terrible.
Where's my furious, squid like, gone?
Yeah. Trash that? My house.
What was that photo last year? You made me think of another one. Yeah, okay, good Simpsons reference in already. It's Spotted Carlisle. I saw it on the internet. Two people cheering up people's day dressed as the Grinch and Cindy Lou. And teenagers think it's okay to do this when young kids are trying to get photos with them. And the picture's just two kids walking past, middle finger up at the poor Grinch. And you can see and someone commented underneath, "Bring back death penalty." Which is makes me laugh. Anyway. Well, that's it doesn't get more Christmassy than that. Capital Punishment. I was looking at Frank's releases, and he really did write a lot of books in a short period of time. I was quite impressed. I mean, I say he wrote it. Obviously, he has literally nothing to do with these books. I'm just, apart from maybe possibly coming up with the characters. That's generous, I would say. But he wrote 20 books in just over 4 years, and this one came out in the same year as Book 9, Frankie's New York Adventure. Book, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing is very much based on his real life transfer. Book 10, Frankie's Kangaroo Caper. Book 11, The Grizzly Games. And book 12, Meteor Madness. So he's prolific.
The Grizzly Games.
The Grizzly Games. Yeah, I guess
that feels Canadian.
Yeah, I would say so. Right. I would say so. He's probably embracing North
America. I thought
it was
like a Hunger Games thing, but sounds like it's pretty violent.
Yeah, possibly.
I'll be honest, a lot of this book made me feel that way. We'll get onto it.
Made you
sure,
feel but, like you wanted to enter the Hunger Games.
Mm, Yeah, maybe. It just made me feel a bit weird, to be honest. It's all a bit sinister.
There's a sinister edge throughout this book.
It's a very sad book. It's a bit dystopian. As we tease, let's read the bit on the back. What's that called? Description.
The title is actually very misleading.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I agree. The Great Santa's Race is not particularly important in the book.
The Great Santa's Race is almost entirely irrelevant to this. It's like an epilogue to the whole thing.
I agree.
If you turned up expecting a Santa's race, you would be there going, when are they going to do it? And you'd be very disappointed by the end of it.
This is what it says in the back. Frankie and his team love playing football. There's always time for a game, even when it's Christmas. It looks like something a white Christmas for Frankie and his friends, but then the magic football accidentally... Oh, yeah, that's important. The magic football's very important in this. But then the magic football accidentally awakens an evil penguin... hate it when that happens. Who wants to create a snowy winter that will never end? Can Frankie and the team stop him before it's too late for a very special Santa to enter the Great Santa Race?
What? Great Santa Race just plugged in at the last second. Yeah.
Blimey.
Can they stop him so that this entirely irrelevant Santa race can happen? Oh.
Let's find out as the book club read. What's it called? Frankie's Magic Football, The Great Santa Race.
Has that ever happened before? Wait, you've forgotten the name of the book?
It's got so many names, this book. It really has.
I know.
Also, I'm naffed off because I found out before. Naffed off? What a stupid thing to say. Because I was going to look at the back. I paid like £3 for each of these books. Someone bought it before me for £1.99 in Oxfam. So third hand, I paid more than second.
Bring back death penalty.
So, over the show, we're going to go into the book in depth. There'll be some Christmassy fun and a Ken song at the end. But first, let's see what
all.
Amazon... Ken's on.
No, just the Christmassy fun.
Christmassy fun. But first, let's see what Amazon's saying. The book has 4.6 stars from 55 ratings.
55 ratings?
No, this is classic stocking filler.
This is a bot. Bot must have done this.
Bought for uncle came quickly. No, bought for uncle. Uncle. Nephew.
Bought for uncle came quickly. Oh, I do not like that. It's not a review anyone wants to read at Christmas.
I did not think that James would be the one to push us down the blue.
Me neither.
The blue route.
How the tables turn.
Yeah, it's Christmas. Got a bit of fun, haven't you? This book has 4.6 stars and 55 ratings, including this 5-star review from Eileen63, titled "Brilliant Present for a 4-year-old Who Is Crazy." ... Which reads, "Brilliant present for a 4-year-old who is crazy at football, especially if your grandson is called Frankie," which mine is. Perfect. Great. So that's what Eileen's...
I like the idea that someone will read that and be like, my 4-year-old is crazy, and then ... at football, and they're going, oh no, just regular crazy.
Just
I'm sorry,
insane. So that's what Eileen's crazy 4-year-old grandson thinks. But more importantly, what do you all think?
I thought I've had a bit of a cold this week, and I've been having a lot of Sudafed. And I did go back and check some bits of it when I reread my notes, because I thought, there's no way this much plot is in a book with a font size 42. But it is. It is all in there. He crams it full. It would make a really, like, I'm not going to say good, but it would make a lively short film.
There is a lot
going on. A lot happens in a small space of time.
I agree.
I sort of agree. I think there are many plot holes and...
Oh, God, the plot holes are enormous.
Elements of confusion. The lore and, like, the logic of it doesn't really, like, hold up for me at all, to the point that if I didn't have to read this, I would say I read this in 40 minutes on the train, because I forgot that we were recording today. I'm glad I read it that quickly, because if I had time to think about it, I think I would be a lot angrier and a lot more David Mitchell.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Okay. We'll see if we can bring out the David side as the episode goes on. So, James, Christmas favorite of yours?
It's terrible. That's it.
That's it. Do you want to log off now?
No, actually, you know what? It was silly, but it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
I always ones that take less than an hour to read.
Yes. Oh, you've really shown yourself someone who reads slower than Jack and the others there by saying 1 hour to 40 minutes. And this is very much a 40-minute book, James.
Such a 40-minute book.
Yeah.
If I took an hour to read this...
How long's an episode of Pointless? I read it while I was watching that, so that took me...
That's between 40 and an hour, so yeah.
Oh.
They have shorter versions of Pointless.
Oh, no, I just mean it's somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that point, really. Okay.
Somewhere
okay.
in there.
Yeah, what, some episode? 20 minutes of nothing on the screen.
A bonus episode of Pointless, which just features extra banter between Xander and Richard Osman.
Yeah. I found it a surprisingly sad book about a cursed child, effectively, who has this awful football that makes his life a fucking living hell throughout it. Which was my main takeaway from this book. And my second one was that far too many animals eat foods that are absolutely not suitable for them and will probably cause them to die in the book.
Yes.
So much like the Grinch was teaching bad lessons to kids, I feel like Frank giving marmalade sandwiches to dogs was probably also not good. I think we should talk about the
He asked for it.
He did ask. No spoilers, James. No spoilers. Talking about Frank. So obviously, Frankie of Frankie's Magic Football series is presumably young Frank Lampard, right? Do we think?
Yeah, but then it's definitely set now. Contemporary to when it came out.
That's definitely the case. Is young Frank Lampard if he were a child in 2015?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. With a ginormous head.
He has got a big head.
Yes.
He has got a big
head. The illustrations of the children, if this was a real person, they would be begging for death. But like,
was it Bob Mortimer calls them a sniper's dream?
They have these gigantic heads and like tiny.
They also have
bodies.
The faces of like 40-year-old men on these tiny bodies.
And very weird is the book starts with a thing from the referee and the referee says like, "Have fun now, you've got it," because apparently there's like a game. There's some game at the end of the thing, but weirdly the book starts with the referee saying, "Have fun, get all together, kids," and they have the picture of the referee, and he looks haggard and old and like a massive head, tiny body. And I was like, okay, so at least the children won't look like that. Page two, you see the actual child, and it's like, nope, that's this person just can't draw children, can't draw people. This is an old, haggard little boy man.
The referee looks like the dad in Happy Days. He really looks like a dad in Happy Days. That bit, the ref, is very odd. Because, Jack, I don't think you said there's a game at the end. Even with the game at the end, it doesn't really make sense why it starts with, "Welcome to a fantastic fantasy league, the greatest football competition ever held in this world, or any other. You'll need 400 teams to choose carefully." Yeah, it's nothing to do with anything.
What does
that
mean? You'll never know who your next opponents will be, or where you'll face them, as if like you're going to be...
Someone's going to get ambushed
at any moment by people saying, "Have you played Frankie Magic Football?" Cough, back of the head!
But I was going to say the art style very much reminded me of Bratz all the way through. Bratz with a Z.
It is very
No, Bratz. you're really showing that you don't know anything about Bratz there, James. I'm very sorry.
Oh, that told me.
I think it is quite Bratz.
Yeah, like an
No, they've just got big heads.
Yeah.
I could say they look like Hey Arnold.
As well. They've got terrifying eyes.
I think they look a bit like they should be in, you know, like an animated cartoon, but for adults.
Yes.
Where they're going to start like smoking cigarettes.
Oh,
or,
God,
like,
you're right.
Cussing people out.
There's a specific cartoon that I...
Yeah, they do, and I can't think what it's called.
That's really annoying. That's going to annoy me.
Yeah, but they look like they should...
On Comedy
Central. They definitely look like... Yes! They definitely look like they'd
like
tell
big
you
mouth
to
or something?
F off.
Yeah,
big like big mouth.
Sort of big mouth, but it's not
quite
big mouth.
Yeah.
Which actually kind of quite neatly leads me on to something that I was going to say.
Oh!
Simultaneously to reading this... I'm working on a project that is quite heavily related to the Class A drug scene in the 1970s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And this book has more references to slang words for cocaine than the one that I'm actually reading.
Oh, wow.
And I think my brain was just in that space. I'm so, yeah, I was just, I'm reading The Cobra by Frederick Forsyth for this project that I'm doing.
Okay.
And honestly, it is this book. Every other word is beak, snow. I didn't know which one I was reading at any time.
There is a bit where a penguin slides across the snow. It's beak
Charlie,
first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, beak first. Yeah, beak first.
Crashes into Charlie. You're right.
Yeah. I was reading them both. I was like, ooh.
And of course,
don't want to review the wrong one in the wrong place.
The final line, little Frankie just turns to camera and says, I love the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I meant to say I'm in love with the cocoa. Damn it, I got it wrong with it. Oh well. Jack, as someone who has a child, moving on from cocaine, someone has a child. I like it. Not the cocaine. Sorry, Jack.
Do you know what? Gets a bad rap, but I like it.
Jack, you have children who could enjoy this book. Did they get a chance to read it at all? Or
no.
Did you hog it? Okay.
they didn't get to read it, and I would not let it anywhere near them.
I think it'd be interesting to finally get a kid's review of it. That's a shame.
If we're being genuine, Camille is not at the stage where she can review this book.
Okay.
We currently we read Zog and the Flying Doctors every night.
Okay.
Which is good. It's a good book. I would recommend.
I think
that
she'd
book
really like The
one.
Cobra by Frederick Forsyth.
No, because this book has the vibe of a Gary Lineker's favorite football stories, just spread out over so many pages. And like given both parts and chapters.
Yes.
This is a book we rarely have books with parts and chapters. And this one has like, oh, you know what? Like it was only a 40 minute read. I'm sorry, James. It was only a 40 minute read. But when we got to part two, I was like, oh my God, my life will never end. this incessant book will continue.
See, I thought it. I'm kind of attached to that. I thought it kind of had enough plot in there to keep me interested throughout it.
I think it had too much plot. If anything, it does. Where are you going to take me now?
It does have too much plot, and some of it's just come out of nowhere for no reason. But
it's like a cross between Green Street and Narnia.
What a beautiful comparison.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I know what's going straight in the beginning. That is the one that kick off the show.
It's
and then just seven
when you get
references
that,
to cocaine. Yeah. should we get into
it? And then me being David Mitchell. That's how it will go.
Yeah, that's how it will go. Let's go into it. Let's go into the book. I think this will be one of those episodes where we kind of talk through it. I think that makes more sense because there's not really enough in it to have four topics, I don't think. Who knows? So the book kind of starts off, the first half, it kicks off Frankie and his friends playing football, surprise, surprise, with, as we find out very soon, a magical ball, which he kind of just mentions in passing. I'm assuming that's
it's
been
so
covered
funny
a lot.
How he mentioned
yeah,
that
there was
passing.
A lot of assumed knowledge in this book.
Yes, they do assume you have
You really
read.
Need to have, yeah.
What was one of them called? Mummy Madness, or whatever it's called. Or
his dad says, don't forget your ball. And he says, Frankie couldn't believe he almost had. His dad didn't know the football had magical powers. If someone else found it, anything could happen. This is after like 10 pages of just, kick the ball, Frankie. The ball's gone to me, Frankie. Oh. Pass the ball over to me. Hello, Frankie. Boosh, boosh, boosh. And then it's like, oh, the ball's magic.
It's that could have... Also, all the friends he plays football with, not one has any significant character trait apart from one who wears gloves. That's it.
Yeah.
one's a girl and one wears gloves. One's just like us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's very true. Jack is wearing gloves today.
I'm wearing gloves and I'm always prepared. There's a bit in this book where they're like Charlie, who's wearing gloves, and he's like, so I think he has to jump on someone at some point and the person he's jumped on is like, what are you doing? And Frankie and Louise both go, well, he's a goalkeeper, so he's always prepared.
Oh, no, that's not... Oh, yeah, that bit. Yeah, you're right.
That's not what goalkeepers do.
Yeah, that is
goalkeepers
weird.
Aren't prepared to jump on anyone
that's
at
scouts,
any moment.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I thought you were referencing the bit where he eats a mince pie with gloves and just fumbles about for, like... six pages trying to eat a mince pie and they're like, well, he's a goalkeeper, he has to. Just pathetic.
But it was like every character trait he had, they were like, well, he is a goalkeeper, yeah, you know? Yeah. This man just jumped out at me and hit me with a mince pie. Well, he's a goalkeeper.
Yeah, he has to be. Then they go to the neighbor They go to see the neighbor after the horrid Harris. Yeah, he seems a bad guy. One of many bad guys in this, but there's a lot of bad guys in Frankie's life.
Well, can we just go back slightly?
Of course, sorry.
A couple of pages, because before they go to the neighbor's house, he is unbelievably shady towards his unnamed dad. Mm. And I get the feeling that there's a bit of latent resentment between Frank and Frank Sr.
Frank Sr. Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
oh, you mean actual Frank Sr.?
Come on, you don't write a book about what a lazy oaf your dad is and how useless he is compared to all the other dads if there's not something boiling under there, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point.
Why is he totally shady? I forgot about that.
He just says he's a bit useless. He's not going to...
He's a bit useless.
Oh, is he going to run the race? Yeah, that guy running a race, good luck.
Yeah.
My old stupid fat dad, good luck. There is also a bit where he says, a man in a tracksuit jogged over towards them. Frankie recognized him because of his scruffy trainers and the dog. And you're like, what? It's your dad.
It's your dad.
You recognized him because of his trainers
and
the dog?
That's what I mean. It's like unnecessary sass towards his dad.
Oh, sorry, Dad. I wouldn't have recognized you if you were wearing different shoes and didn't have a dog. What the fuck?
you're absolutely right. And that is the first time we hear a mention of the Great Santa Race, which doesn't really come to fruition for a little while.
It's a slow burn.
Because the next thing they go to the neighbor, evil Mr. Harris, we mentioned, turning his Christmas lights on, which is apparently a big thing in the neighborhood.
He sounds like a real knobhead, doesn't he? He's like the local hunk with all the Christmas light. Yeah, I can just picture him now. He's keeping up with the Joneses, isn't he?
Yeah, but
what's weird is the dad seems to be like, this guy's great. Yeah. I love him.
He's a real sucker.
Let's go watch the lights turn on. And Mr. Harris is like, you were a fat, stupid slob. I'll destroy you in this rain. He's like, sounds good, Mr. Harris.
He's a brilliant lights. Brilliant lights. I love him. I love your lights for every year. Yeah, he's real suck up. But so you think everything's going, according to plan. Christmas lights are going to go on. Christmas spirit is going to be instilled in the village. And then another dickhead in the book. Frankie's brother, Kev, possibly the biggest dickhead in the book, I would say. Even more than the evil penguin who comes in later. He ruins everything by kicking their ball into a house, into Mr. Harris's display, knocking everything down and ruining everything. And he says, this is another good example of just dropping in the magic football thing. He says, Kev steals his ball and he goes, give it back, Kev. The last thing we needed was the football's magic kicking in while people were watching.
I think that's the thing that annoyed me about this book. What are the rules here?
Yes.
I still don't understand.
You just kick the ball and magic happens.
Yes.
Right?
And it's not good magic, which is the important thing, because he kicks the ball up and he ruins the display and his dog comes to life for some reason, and
why?
No, the dog's not dead. He doesn't come to life.
The dog
turns into a human. Turns into a human. He becomes a...
No, the dog doesn't turn into a human.
Oh, he has a human's voice in it. Yeah, right.
Sorry,
Frank's Magic Football super fans. Jesus.
See, he's spent an hour reading it properly.
People at home are trying to get an understanding of this book.
James paid attention to this. What happened? Did he turn into a human or not, James?
No, he could just speak.
Yeah. Right, I'll accept that.
Currently, how you said this is that
a dead dog has come back to life and turned into a human.
that is true.
Of course, the people at home are going to be confused.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. You are right. I'm sorry. That was bad.
He does kind of mention what the magic involves, though. Oh, it's quite vague. They say that it usually opens a portal or summons something.
Does he say that?
But on this occasion, it's summoned a demon penguin.
When he says that, it's like usually it opens a portal. But this time it's done nothing except my brother's missing and my dog can talk.
Oh, yeah. I know, and I think my biggest plot hole with this book is that there are no emergency services in Frankie's land.
Mm.
The dog starts talking and other things will happen very soon. And no one bats a bloody eye.
No one cares.
No one calls for help.
Fucking dog's talking again. This is why I think Frankie lives, his life is, he just doesn't want to be alive anymore. This guy. everything about him is just like, oh, great, this is happening. Because Kev goes missing. So his brother, who kicked the ball up in the air, knocked everything down, caused this display to come to life. And now his brother's just totally disappeared. Doesn't know where he is. And it turns out his brother is a Christmas decoration. So, like, no good comes from this ball ever, it seems like. No. Surely if you had a magic ball, any other book could be like, oh, brilliant, everything's going really well. I, when I kick it, I can become famous or whatever, and I can become the greatest footballer of all time. Instead, his one is just like portals open, and my life just turns to shit every time.
Well, his dog can talk now, as we say.
That is true, and that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it just makes
his brother turn into a tree decoration is genuinely hilarious, though.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
His brother is such a dick and deserved it. I was around this point, I was desperately looking for, a classic Lampard. No, but seriously, just in case anything pops up in the book. You know, we've talked about that before on the show, how Lampard will do like talk, little joke. Nah, but seriously, in his interviews, the closest I got was on page 27. Frankie wasn't in any mood to calm down. At this point, he's looking for his brother who's caused all this trouble, and he's really angry with him. He thinks he just run off. Because he didn't want to get blamed. So he goes to find him, he goes, he knows what the football can do, but he's always messing around with it. I've had enough. He ran up the stairs and burst into Kevin's room. It was disgusting and smelly, as always, with dirty clothes all over the floor and plates of food on the desk. His mum always said that Kevin's room was like a pigsty, but Frankie thought that was unfair to pigs. There was no sign of Kevin.
But seriously, no, but he's missing.
Yeah, yeah. No, but seriously, assumed dead. My brother had turned into an ornament.
Can I just say that later on, when they discover that Max the dog can talk, Luis says, let's sit down. Then it says, I agree, said a gruff voice. That was seriously awkward. Everyone looked down. Max, said Frankie, you're talking. I suppose I am, replied the dog. But that means, said Charlie, the football has worked its magic, interrupted Louise. She's annoyed. Actively irritated. Oh, God. The football's worked its magic again.
You're talking of plot holes. There's one thing that they could do, which I'm sure we're all thinking, which I'm sure we'll bring up towards the end. One way of solving all this nonsense that keeps happening.
I'm not sure. Well, interesting.
Just deflate the ball. Here's what I would do. Immediately, this ball just causes trouble. Like, so the next page, this penguin comes to life, and he's like, generally just sounds like pained. He wants to play football, but there's Emperor Frosty here trying to create a permanent winter for some reason.
Can we just clarify? The penguin that comes to life is one of the neighbor's this Christmas decorations.
Light-up
penguin outside the house that refuses to light up, and then it gets hit by the ball, is that right?
It gets hit by the ball,
and then nobody else sees this happen for some reason. I don't know where everyone else has gone.
No one sees anything relevant at any
point. No one sees anything.
Yeah.
Just the kids see this penguin escape, and his brother's gone missing. For a while, I thought his brother was hiding in the penguin and running off wearing it.
That's what I thought. Or I thought that the brother's spirit had gone into the penguin and they were going to
have
it. Yeah.
What I really liked about that as well is the way that they spend a long time establishing that it definitely couldn't be like a trick. The ball hits the penguin and the penguin like starts to move after it's like not been plugged in. And Frankie's like, oh my goodness, it's starting to move, but it wasn't plugged in. And the dog says, maybe it has batteries. And you're like, guys, let's just very quickly say it's magic. Yeah. You don't need to sort of do does it have a solar panel at the back, which means that it can work even when you don't think. It's interesting, isn't it? But then what I don't get, Emperor Frosty reveals itself to be Emperor Frosty. An evil penguin from the North Pole, even though penguins aren't from the North Pole, as the points out.
Yeah.
So
that annoyed me when he had to point that out. Like, give it a fucking
They thought they were so funny there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So clever. But my question is,
he was banished by Father Christmas as well. I think you need to mention that.
Sure, but he was a penguin, right?
Mm-hmm. And he became a robot one of, I guess. Yeah, I don't think.
So this is what I don't understand. Is the robot penguin?
Yep.
Frosty, has he always been Frosty? And then somehow he's ended up in Mr. Harris's.
I think it was a bit of a Buzz Lightyear, Emperor Zorg kind of thing.
Okay.
Where it's maybe based on a real book. I've thought about this way too much.
Yeah, I was wondering this as well.
Yeah, he's been turned into a toy because that's what happens to Kevin. He gets turned into an inanimate Christmas decoration. Right,
okay,
right?
So where did Mr. Harris get it from? It just turned up in Mr. Harris' house and he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Use this penguin.
I think just by Kev kicking the ball, it created some kind of, like that Joe was mentioning, some kind of portal, and then these spirits kind of came out of it. And
James. Are we to assume that there was a penguin, a robot penguin, that then magically found the spirit of another evil penguin?
Yeah.
How does that work? That doesn't make sense, does it?
I think Tasha's enough sense.
No, it doesn't make enough sense. Don't give this book enough credit. Tasha's version makes more sense, which is that the penguin was evil, and like Lucifer, he was banished from Lapland, and forced to turn into an inanimate toy.
Now I get it. Okay, I'm bored with that.
The magic football released him from that prison.
Yep.
And he's like, if I can turn the world into winter, I don't need to go home. I can live here.
Yes.
Which is also weird because he says he hates Christmas, but he is turning the world into a permanent Christmas.
Yeah, but isn't that what happens in Narnia?
Yeah, but they quite like Christmas, don't they?
He doesn't like Christmas, but he likes winter. Is what I think. Yeah, I don't think he's like, you know.
He likes mince pies. What are you on about?
He does.
No, but he says he hates everything about Christmas.
Another animal that shouldn't be eating those things. I googled that. Like, penguins have a very fish heavy diet. They should
Can penguins eat mince pies?
It took me such a long time to find anything reserved. But it said basically. Also, a lot of things said like for humans not to eat penguins as well. That came up a lot.
You shouldn't eat penguins. Sure. No,
okay, really?
Yeah, apparently, like, not
what, is it?
Not good. Lots of oily stuff and lots of plastics in them. Apparently.
Lots of plastics and penguins. Yeah, are you talking about? Are you talking about a real penguin? Or are you talking about the bars, Emperor Frosty?
I'm talking about a bar, penguin bar. If you eat a whole penguin bar with the plastic on, that's really bad for you. Apparently,
yeah, that's going to be pretty bad for you.
I found out 30 years too late. The biggest plot hole for me. So we mentioned Kev, who disappeared. He's gone missing.
Yep.
He's missing for at least a night.
This is what I mean by there's no emergency services.
The parents just don't give a shit. They're just worried about, they're like,
they don't care.
They wake up the next morning, they're like, oh God. And it's like, you imagine them to go like, oh, but they finally notice their son's gone. It's like, oh, you never guess what? I can't do the Santa race. They don't give a shit that their son's missing. No one cares.
Well, at one point, they're like, oh, I think he's just shopping for Nan's present. It's like, what, for 24 hours? Where is he?
He's really concerned about Nan's present.
I didn't see that. Like, that's funny. You did.
It's so funny.
You did read it better than me. Yeah, fair enough.
Everyone in this stupid book is obsessed with the Great Santa Race to the point that, like, the penguin says, "I'm going to turn the world into an endless winter. It will never be sunny ever again." And Frankie's response is, "But what about the Great Santa Race?" And you're like, "Did you not? Do you not hear what he just said? He said that your entire life will be winter forever now."
Yeah.
So funny.
Also, the fact they've got a talking dog and they're just so blasé about it.
Yeah.
Why are they asking it loads of questions? Like, why aren't they translating old, like, dog to human so we can communicate more effectively? Like, asking it, you know, do you mind that we castrate you? Be honest, is your food horrible? Like, those dog button videos, they're bullshit, aren't they? Like, ask it loads of questions. Stressed me out. That was the worst bit about it. I was like, I wouldn't leave the house again. I'd be asking this dog so many questions.
Yeah, who cares your brother turned to an alderman? The dog's talking now. You lost one brother, you gained a talking dog.
Yeah.
Overall.
I would definitely swap my sister for Sid to be able to talk. Sorry, Libby.
No, fair enough.
He talks way more sense than she does.
Especially
also,
if
he's
Libby
not just
was
a talking
nightmare.
Dog. He's a wise cracking dog. Yeah, understands jokes. He's like understands the concept of a white Christmas and has a perception of time and seasons.
And like, and if you'd met my sister, she does not have any of those things.
Wow.
He makes a quip about an electrician at one point. I'd be like, right, how would you know what an electrician is?
That
this dog is my sister. Her boyfriend's an electrician. I've cracked it.
That quip doesn't make any sense, by the way.
No, it doesn't.
They're like, stupid. How are we going to fix Mr. Harris's lights? And he goes, call an electrician. You're like, okay, yeah, that is a legitimately good suggestion. Yeah. That's not a joke, you stupid
I think
dog.
He's supposed to be like the straight man, isn't he? And it kind of doesn't work because he's a dog.
I think Frankie's supposed to be the straight man.
Yeah, he's just
because Frankie's based on Frank Lampard, and Frank Lampard like could be donkey. Nothing but the straight man.
The dog's donkey.
The dog is definitely donkey.
I imagine the dog having like Joe Pesci's voice.
Oh, that's nice.
Girl and Trisha.
Yeah. I can see that. But yeah, that's kind of the cliffhanger that's set up at the end of the end of part one. As it says in the book, Frank. I just like this line. So on set, because it really doesn't. I just like the way they don't really sell the emotions in this book. They have really like kind of like basic emotions in there. He says, so he finds out his brother's a decoration. He goes, but then his eyes settled on one decoration that looked slightly out of place. Not Christmassy at all. It was a figurine of a boy dressed in a pair of jeans and a hooded top. Frankie felt sick. It can't be, he said, reaching out gently. He plucked the model off a branch. How am I going to get Kevin back for Christmas? Frankie muttered, turning the tiny boy over in his hands. Frankie's brother had turned into a tree decoration. He looked up at his friends, had the magic football, ruined Christmas for good. Bam!
Again, it's not just Christmas. It's your entire family life. It's not as if like, oh no, Christmas is ruined. It's like, no, my brother has been turned into a Christmas tree decoration. That is a much bigger problem than just Christmas.
He felt sick. Christmas might not be happening. This isn't great.
Who's going to eat the turkey?
Oh God, I feel absolutely sick. Who's going to get Nana present? He's got... Well, guys, time for a break, but can Frankie save his brother from being a Christmas decoration forever? Will the Great Santa Race actually take place? Find out after the break. Hello, James here, and we at Football Book Club want you. That's right, you, to join something special, something exclusive. We want you to join the Football Book Club Club. The Football Book Club Club is the home of even more Football Book Club action, and now it's cheaper than ever to become a full member at just £3.50 a month. There's three tiers. By signing up to our Bookworm tier, you get an exclusive members-only episode of Football Book Club every fortnight, filling the gap between regular episodes with more book club fun and, frankly, a frighteningly deeper analysis of whatever book we're reading in the episode. Plus, you get access to all the bonus episodes recorded so far. There's over 20 of them on there. Well, 20. And most excitingly, you'll get your hands on a special edition Money Can't Buy bookmark you can put inside your personal copy of Darren Huckabee's Hucks. All that for just £3.50 a month. For context, that's a tenth of the cost of a cameo message from Ian Dowie. And a cameo is what, 30 seconds? For that price, you get 10 episodes. That's 3.5 hours of content. I dread to think what you have to pay to get 3.5 hours of content from Ian Dowie. You'd have to remortgage your house. But I digress. And if that's still not right for you, if you really love the show, you can join the Super Bookworm tier. And if you like the show but don't want to pay that much, you can support the show for just £1 a month on the Casual Reader tier. You won't get the bonus episodes, but yes, you will get that bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub for more details. So if you enjoy the show, please consider joining up. It really does help us to keep making the show, because books don't grow on trees. They are trees, kind of. And trees are expensive. But the Football Book Club isn't. So join today at patreon.com/footballbookclub or by following the link in the episode notes. See you back at the clubhouse.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are still reading Frank Lampard's Frankie's Magic Football, The Great Santa Race. Before the break, what happened? Frank Lampard, he could kick his magic football at a house, in doing so opening up a portal to hell, and a penguin came to life, an ornamental penguin came to life, is going to turn the world into winter. Oh, and his brother is now a Christmas decoration. Yeah.
Do you have like a just ever have like an out of body experience where you kind of like look at what you're doing with your life? Do you ever have that?
At least this book was quick. I feel that quite a lot when we do things, but at least we got through this book quickly.
What I mean by the fact that this book dragged for me is that after part one, I was expecting a little bit of a time shift.
Yeah,
I was thinking like it goes like part one ends with like has the magic football ruined for Christmas for good, and then it's part two. And then it's chapter five. Kev, whispered Frankie, is that you? We're still in the room. Oh, yeah. We're still talking to the Christmas tree.
They love doing that. That happened in chapter two as well. Yeah.
It's not a cliff. You don't need to just carry on.
Do you know why
I
think that is, though? I think we are looking at this as if it's been written for us. These are chapters for a six-year-old boy to read before he falls asleep, and I think we maybe should not look at where they've put the dividers in there too closely.
Yeah, Jack.
I just think that if you're going to have a part two, I just would like a level of like development. That's all I'm thinking.
Fair.
We need to have an understanding of like where are we pushing towards here, guys? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like otherwise we're just sort of trapped in a linear sense of time, and I just think we could be doing better.
Hey, Jack, you haven't read Frankie and the versus the Rowdy Romans. How do you know that had a real nice bit of development?
Sounds like a horrible histories crossover.
It does. Yeah, well, they all do a little bit.
I think
pirate pillagers, cowboys crew, knights nasties.
I do think that what I was expecting from this book was that they'd be taken to a different world by the ball, and I think that might be the weakness of this particular one is that. Like they keep on in this book, spend the whole time being like, the football's amazing and like it's done an amazing thing. It does turn, you know, the dog can talk now. I'm not saying that is a big deal. And the penguin comes to life and his brother's Christmas tree ornament. But then the other thing it does is kind of like, it makes everything snowy and everyone else like acts like this is incredible. Like, oh my God, it's snowing. It's like, that remarkable.
It's December.
It's snowing. It sort of... It was it didn't look like it was going to happen, and then it did happen. Yeah. Whereas I feel like in the other books, it feels like you would kick the ball and you'd get to go to Rome, ancient Rome. Whereas I feel like there's not quite enough magic for me. I know you were saying there's a lot of plot that you were like, for me, not enough happens, I would say.
The setting, they should have done it. They should have parodied The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, shouldn't they? And they should have kicked the ball and gone into the snowy place.
Slowly, or even like gone to Lapland or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they have to fight an evil penguin. But they need to be, I think, because as you guys say, there's also a level of like, why aren't the parents concerned? Why isn't anyone worried about this? And it's because they're still set in their real world. So they have all the real world concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just take it out of this and go into a magic world.
They should have gone to another world and then come back and brought the snow with them to give it a white Christmas.
Just
after the race, after the dad won the race, because quite frankly, fuck Mr. Harris, he's a prick.
Yeah.
So the dad wins the race.
Yeah. Oh yes.
And then it all starts snowing and everyone's like, "Wee."
And he's worried they have to get back before the race because his dad doesn't think that he'll be able to win without Frankie being there. Mm-hmm. So Frankie there's a ticking clock there for Frankie as well. Mm-hmm. He's got to get back.
They get there just as he's about to win.
just is about to end.
See, they should have done a writer's room for this. We would have smashed it.
We would absolutely smashed this. Honestly, we could write this right now if you guys want.
That's what could have happened. Should we talk about what actually does happen in the book? That could potentially help.
Fine. Just out of interest, what is the procedure for reversing your brother's transformation into a Christmas decoration?
Yeah, Frankie seems to be very sure about that.
Without
the
a
beginning.
Magic football.
They should definitely not come to the football before they turn their brother back. They should definitely try.
This is what I was thinking.
That. Yeah, yeah. But before any of this happens, like after the third, like after Rowdy Romans or whatever, puncture that ball because it's getting you into too much trouble. Just like focus on like school and stuff.
Nothing good comes out. You're right. Nothing good comes out of it. Usually with these things, something good happens, nothing good comes out of it.
No, nope. He doesn't like become a better footballer. Ball. Yeah, just go burst it. Go down Sport and Soccer, buy another one for £3. Fine, sorted. That big bin at the front, just get one out of there. So what happens after that? So right, where we're up to? Kids and ornament. Penguin's there. So they have to go and try and find this penguin, right? They try and tempt this penguin out with mince pies, as we talked about. And they just come up on a plan to destroy it with a magic football. I was going to say, did this work for everyone? But I know the answer to that already.
No! Well, because Frankie leaps on this plan based on the fact that he finds the penguin like in the park, and he holds up the football and is like, "I'm going to kick this at you," and the penguin's like, "Don't!" And that's his plan. Mm-hmm. Like that's the level of his plan. And he's like, "Well, because the penguin has said, don't, I'm frightened of the ball." He's like, he really pursues it. There needs to be more of a sense of what will happen if he kicks the ball at the penguin. You know, there's a lot of assumptions being made.
This is another thing which you're talking about with being set in the real world and causing problems. They are so pained over and over again to say that, like, this is the giant penguin causing havoc next to all these people ice skating. And they're going like, unfortunately, they're all just too busy to notice. It's like at some point, someone else is going to see that penguin.
Be like, that's weird, isn't it?
Like a giant animatronic penguin Nexus. Is he giant? Am I imagining he's giant?
I don't think
in some
he's
pictures
giant.
He looks very big.
Yeah, in some pictures he's huge.
Yeah,
in some
but he's quite menacing if he's small. Like if he was little, if he was a normal penguin size, you'd probably just throw like a sack over him and like, keep him, wouldn't you?
Like in a
keep him. I'm not keeping him. I am.
If you had a talking penguin, think how much you could sell that. For
and a talking dog,
yeah, god,
and a talking dog. Yeah, I'd keep him under wraps, but I'd sell the penguin.
Interesting,
you're keeping the penguin under wraps as well. If you're putting a like a bag, <Very good,
yeah. laughs> you know, when Kevin's a little decoration, can he still talk?
No, I don't think so, because later on, he's like, what happened? What a weird dream, which is inherently quite terrifying. This would make a really good episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, someone turning into Crystal Woman. That's nice.
That's the level of horror, but this book never pushes the horror that far.
No.
I think it's the disadvantage.
But it is forgot that sinister undertone, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that is sinister.
It's got the kind of penguin out of Wallace and Gromit vibe.
Mm.
Like, yes. He's going to come and get you.
Is that his name?
Feathers
McGraw. Yeah.
This whole little segment before we get to the end, before we get to the big face-off between them. This was really treading water for me. This bit was treading water. Yeah. No one really had a clue what to do at this moment. They really seize upon the fact that he likes mince pies with some like really half-assed thing to try and bring the penguin out, and then they make a deal with the penguin. For some reason, at this point, and they should never have trusted the penguin. The penguin goes. The penguin says something like, "If you, I'll bring your brother back if you beat me at football." And they go, and Frank goes like, "How can we trust you?" And he goes, "Because I keep my word." And they go, "Yeah, fair enough. All right, that's fine by me."
It's my biggest weakness, along with mince pies. It's my biggest weakness. And Frankie's like, I'm sure he has a couple of plots up his sleeve. He's a pretty cunning guy.
They
win the game, and then the penguin just grabs the ball and runs off. And they're like, hey, wait a second. You said you were going to turn us like the brother back. He's like, I lied. Like, that's not a cunning plan. That's just lying.
I'm glad that you can't jump forward, because the bit that should be the most interesting bit, the actual football match, is by far the worst bit of the book.
Yeah, by far.
It's unreadable.
I still don't really understand what happened.
It's very hard to write, like, as you found out many times with Gary Lineker's favorite football stories, it's very hard to write like football as action. In the same way, in like films and TV shows, it's quite hard to capture it. But this is still
a particularly bad one.
It's rubbish.
Because like, it's basically the kids are like, we're going to be great at football because we've got the magic football and we're great at football. And then they realize very quickly that snow is hard to play in. And at one point they kind of go like, oh no, the penguins are in their element. I mean, are they?
There's also a great moment. I think it's Louise's only good line. And it really shows that she's not a keen footballer, I would say, in this. Someone plays a cross in. Go, Frankie, roars Charlie. The ball started to drop. Frankie summoned all his strength and dived towards the goal. He closed his eyes and flicked his head, making contact with the ball. He fell into the snow, but he heard Louise cry out, super goal!
It's a super goal! That's worth more!
That was a super goal. Pathetic.
That bit was particularly torturous. It was like running through snow, which is what they were doing a lot of. Yeah, infuriating.
It was, but they win thanks to that goal. Penguin runs off, but because of the magic, then the ball starts getting its magic back a bit or something. He's holding the ball, running off with it. Yeah, actually, that's the thing. He's like
it defrosts, doesn't it? That was the ball defrosts.
That's correct. Yeah, but there's another thing. Like he said, as part of the bargain earlier, he said that it's like if we win, your brother stays in the tournament and I keep the ball. It's like fucking have the ball. Like, why is that a problem? that's the least of his worries. That's the penguin around the ball is just like that has improved his life immeasurably if that happens. But the ball comes.
I don't know, but can you imagine if that penguin works out what it does? And
exactly.
He just keeps turning up in like
all these places. Like Thanos,
ancient Rome.
Like that. Yeah. He could change.
I think what you want is basically give me back the ball and we'll destroy it together.
Yes.
Fire.
That's a nice idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. But anyway, the ball gets his power back, and so the penguin dies.
The penguin turns back into an ornament.
That's it. Yeah.
Back into a lie.
And then after they've had the threat of a nuclear winter that would surely destroy like life on Earth, we have to then spend about 30 pages getting the penguin back to Mr. Harris's thing and having the snow. Like, there's so much stuff where you're like, I think at that point I'd be like, I'm so relieved that we are not going to live in an endless winter and we're not going to die horribly frozen in our own homes, that I wouldn't really bother about anything else, really. I'd just be happy about that.
Well, there is one key
thing.
What
about the Santa race?
Who gives a fuck about the Santa race, James?
That was the David Mitchell moment. That was your David Mitchell moment.
The Santa race gets called off because it's too snowy.
Yeah.
And the dad is not bothered about Kevin, but he is really bothered about the fact that his Santa race has been called off.
Yep.
And then the snow like thaws very quickly. Yep. And so the organizer's like, should we put it back on? As if like it's really easy to cancel and recancel, like to uncancel something.
Yeah.
Then like
nightmare. Yeah.
That would be an absolute mystery of nightmare. Yeah. There'd be so many people there would be like, oh, I assumed it was off. I've had a drink. I just haven't done my warm-ups or anything like that. Or even though the snow is all thawed, it's actually quite hard to get to this part of town. Traffic's a nightmare now as a result of all the snow that was there, all the water.
Isn't it Christmas Eve as well?
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. I mean,
people have got shit to do on Christmas Eve.
Agreed.
Especially one big man.
And
all of the police should be looking for Kevin because he's been gone for 72 hours at this point.
The one big man is important. We'll come to them in a second, but I think we should mention that just before this happens, Kev has turned back into a human from being an ornament. That sounds like very much like a politician there. Kev has turned back into a human. And you mentioned this earlier, Jack. He kind of comes out of a coma. And they really don't... When you come out of a coma, you probably shouldn't like shock someone like immediately and scare them as much as you can. But Frankie goes for the other approach. His brother comes to him, he goes, what's going on? He said when he saw Frankie approaching. I had the strangest dream. Despite all the problems Kevin had caused, Frankie felt sorry for his brother. So he helps him up and goes, yeah, you almost caused a never-ending winter. Christmas was nearly ruined. Giant penguin turned up. You turned into an ornament. And yeah, we almost all died. But yeah, never mind.
And he says, I just had a thought. In this series, have they ever done Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, very good. Sure.
They should have done.
And he did go
they
to America.
They should do that.
So yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, they should do that. Just hit me up, Frank.
He hasn't written a book, I'm sorry to say, since 2016. So,
God.
I know.
Why? What else
Frankie goes to manage Everton. The manager can't save him there.
One last thing I wanted to mention before we get Santa was another, much like Frankie felt sick earlier. when they're recapping the stories to Kevin, they go, they all told Kevin the tales. They headed back into the trees to fetch the model penguins. He laughed. Yep. Kevin laughed at the bit where Frankie got blamed for the ball incident, but he shuddered. And they told him about how it had been a decoration hanging from a tree. Shuddered. One underreaction. Oh, don't like that.
I was nearly a decoration in a tree.
Someone walked over my grave. You're hanging in a house like minutes before for a day. Oh, not cool. Don't like that.
Oh, that's nasty. It is. Oh, I don't like that at all.
But yeah, let's get to the Santa race. Get to the Santa race. That is key. Everyone love that ending?
It made me annoyed. End of sentence.
Okay. Tash and James, what did you think of the Santa race?
I found it very anticlimactic. Mm. They should have ended it with the penguin.
Yes.
Exactly. It was totally unnecessary. Mm. And this is why I think it was just an excuse to rag on Frank Sr. Why was it at the beginning and why was it at the end, if not to make, like, I just...
Because
no.
Frankie's dad comes off quite well, I would say.
Yeah, I know.
He saves Mr. Harris. That's the thing as well, like, the ending, it's not like he wins or anything like that.
He comes across as a simp.
He does come across as a simp.
He does come across as a simp, yeah. Simp. Simp senior.
Simp senior.
Simp senior. He does come across as a simp.
It is, I think... Having had the threat of an endless winter, it is hard to care about this at all, I would say. At all.
Without giving away, it's not really a plot twist, but the person, as you mentioned, the big man earlier, Tash, the person who wins the fun run turns out to probably, most likely, be... Father Christmas himself. A bit like that. Stories about Elvis coming Elvis coming third in a Elvis impersonators competition. Yeah. It's like he turns up and gets in there.
But as if Santa hasn't got better shit to do on Christmas Eve than come and run in a bloody race.
Agreed. I think also this book was flirting with it being like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, and then spends about five pages going, it is, you know, it is fucking Santa. It is Santa.
Yeah.
Like they start by going like, you know, he's not even wearing trainers. He's wearing big black boots.
Yeah.
That beard looks very real, doesn't it? And then he goes, well, I am working on Christmas Eve. And then I best be off now. I've got to go to the north somewhere. And it's like, Frankie suddenly had an amazing idea. Wait a second, mister. Are you Father Christmas? It's just like, leave a little bit to the kids' imagination.
You haven't got to the best last question when Louise, Super Goal Louise, asks a question so boring that Father Christmas leaves forever.
This question is so boring.
You had all these things. It's like, oh, do you want a mince pie?
You're the real Santa, aren't you? Yeah. Said Frankie, keeping his voice low. Maybe he can whisper back. It is him, obviously. It is him. It's him. It's him, guys. We know it's him.
Yep.
And then Louise, he says, I've got 8 hungry reindeer to feed. And Louise pops up with, what are their names?
Louise
stupid
asked,
cow. Everybody knows his name.
Louise was asked, but Santa was already walking away.
Good.
I haven't got time for Louise.
It's what she deserves.
It's all the things
where you're like, what?
Much like with the dog.
I've got eight reindeer to feed. What do you think? Come on. I've got a big beard. You stupid.
Do you need me to spell it out? Do you need me to spell it out, Louise? I'm not going to sit here and do
You're on the naughty list now, Louise, for being stupid. And
get
Oh my God,
her.
I forgot. Do you guys remember the bit where there's a dream sequence? The dream sequence.
Oh, yeah.
The dream sequence is so funny.
Yeah.
It's just after he kicked the ball and he's in bed and he hears Father Christmas walking over the roof. And Father Christmas gets that as naughty list and his nice list. And he looks at the list and goes, bah! Frankie is on the naughty list. Bah! And Frankie sort of like puts his head up against the window and goes, no, it was Kevin. Kevin kicked the ball. And then Frankie just wakes up in the middle of the night going, oh, what a horrible dream. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. Where's my brother? So funny. Yeah, well, back to my perfectly pleasant life when my brother disappeared. Yeah, not worried about that at all, is he?
Yeah, very weird book.
And that's it. The book ends. We get a preview of the next Frankie book, which I'm sure Jack will be reading eagerly.
Yeah,
called T-Rex Terror.
I think the next Frankie book might be better because it looks like they actually leave the real world.
Yes, Team T-Rex. It's you said, basically. They go on a ride and it sounds like it goes into prehistoric times or something like that.
That's how this book should function. Mm. They should always, well, not always, but I think that if you're going to mess with the format to the point that it comes into the real world, then you're always going to be bashing up against these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care enough about the local politics between Horrid Harris and Frank Sr. to really care, you mm-hmm. know. I want to go to Magic Worlds, Frankie. I want to go to Magic World.
But you know, much like this, it is a Christmas special, this one, so maybe they're, you know, something a little bit different to what they normally would do.
Oh, it's a Christmas special, so let's make it more boring than usual. Yeah, great idea, James.
That's what we do.
Does the penguin still exist then in this,
this is what I want to
timeline
know.
Could he come I back think, at some point
I yeah possibly
penguin. But does that mean that the penguin, surely they should have just destroyed the penguin? Shouldn't they have just like thrown him off a cliff rather than like putting him back with Mr. Harris? Like, Mr. Harris didn't realize his penguin had gone missing in the first place.
And also, of all the people that I would not give an evil penguin to, it would be Mr.
Yeah,
Harris.
Yeah, imagine if they team up. That's going to be a frightening combo. Those two. But yeah, the evil, like
toxic masculinity central.
Yeah,
over there.
The brain of that penguin, the brawn of Mr. Harris. It's
like, yeah,
flat stomach, egg white omelets.
I feel like the penguin using the ball to like teleport to another world, and then it's like he ends up in like Australia or something. He's like, oh, this is far too hot. What am I going to do here? And that's how it ends.
That'd be good.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sadly, it doesn't. So again, all good ideas, what could happen, but they don't. Instead, we get a preview of the next book. We get a competition. If you mention some animals that are in books, you win something, but the website doesn't work anymore. I tried it. I can't enter. Mm. So there we go. I'm out for that. And then some playing cards at the end, which we'll get to later. But I want to know, did this book change you, everybody?
No.
Good. No. Thanks, Ash. There we go.
I can't even think of like a jokey answer.
No.
I know.
It just sucked the joy out of me.
I don't think it was. I enjoyed it more than I thought it was. It wasn't a fine little children's book to me. I haven't read admittedly, Jack, you have read many more children's books more recent than I have, I would say.
I think I have.
Yeah. As someone who has children and I don't.
Even before I had kids.
Yeah.
I was knocking through them.
Score out of 10?
3.
Okay. Okay.
For the talking dog, mostly.
I found the talking dog annoying.
I did, but I liked the concept. It was not explored very well, but it was. I just kept like looking at my dog, like I know he could do it really.
I found that kick really
horrifying. Kick a football in it, and then you'll find out.
Yeah.
Benji will say something.
Yeah. Or SPCA incoming.
Fuck off!
Someone's going to say something.
I'll give it a 5. I found it fairly fun.
Oh,
fairly fun.
I'm gonna give it a 2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It really bugged me.
Okay, that's fine. You can be bugged by Frank Lampard.
I think also not like conceptually also annoys me the fact that Frank Lampard's able to get a kid's book written, and like there are lots of legitimately good children's authors out there who aren't able to do it. That's the bit of it that also.
I also couldn't see the ghostwriter like credited anywhere. Well, normally they get a little.
He acknowledged someone. Her.
At
some point he says
no, he's to my mum Pat, who is it? His mum? Is that why she hates the dad so much?
Yeah, possibly.
He says Luella Wright for bringing my characters to life, yes. Which is implied right.
No, she's the illustrator.
Oh, okay.
I googled her to see if this style
you've done
was
way more.
What about Steve?
Yeah,
what about Steve Kutner?
Oh, maybe
could be him.
For being a great friend and all this help and guidance. No, you
not just
you
with the book, but with everything. He says, could be the Kutner. It could be any one of Neil Blair, Zoe King, Daniel Tawellis, or anyone in the Blair partnership.
Well,
Michael Ford.
depressingly, sometimes these books are like written by a group and they don't have the ghostwriter's name on them, which is really a grim way of working. You're sort of
that's because Frank Lampard wrote every single word in this book. He came up with the characters and did everything himself.
I would believe it. It is a bit Tory, isn't it? It's a bit dry and a bit miserable for Christmas. So I would believe it.
Okay, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
James, score out of 10?
I would have gone with like 5, but there was a line in it I really liked, which bumps up to 6. I've never seen a penguin score a goal ever in my life. So...
Hey, wait, are we doing out of context?
Yeah, yeah. Tash, if you've got one, Tash, while I
do have one.
While I work out the score, yeah, feel free.
Okay.
I've worked it out.
Frosty's eyes widened and he flapped. "Don't come near me with that thing," he said. Oh, I knew it, thought Frankie. He's scared. "Spread out," he whispered to his friends. "Surround him."
Oh, yeah.
Got him down. No, it's not like that, Frankie. Please,
it's not like
please
it, Frankie. No, Frankie.
Smoking, boys.
I like, Frosty has turned into a useless piece of plastic, he said. "I can't tell the difference," said Max with a snigger. How does that make any sense? You can't tell the difference between a 4-foot teenage boy and a small piece of plastic. You stupid fucking dog.
What a beautiful way to end the book. It got 4 out of 10 overall.
Okay.
Stupid dog. And we can't do a quiz because there's not really many questions. There's not many questions to ask from that. I think James would win for having spent the most time paying attention to it. Let's play the game at the back. I don't know how this is going to work, but at the back of the book, you have these playing. You have like these top trump cards. At the back of it.
I didn't get these.
Oh, so Jack, what they are basically is you got Frosty, Frankie, Kevin. I don't know who Kevin. Oh, it's his brother, and of course it's his brother, and Charlie, and they all have
the person who spent the most amount of time talking about.
Yeah. And they
you can only have an animal or a woman. You can't have both.
That's true. Yeah, there's no women in there. Yeah, good point. and yeah, they all get like scores, like strength, skills, stamina, speed, spirit. Has to begin with S.
Do you want me to send? Are you going to give us all the characters? Do you want me to send you a picture, Jack?
Yeah, that's
yeah, go on then.
Well, I was going to say, Tash, choose whichever one you want to give Jack. Send him a picture of it. And then we all draw.
You could be Frosty, bitch.
And then we all draw one at random, I say. So some of us might have the same card. I think that's only fair because there's some real top scoring ones. Who wants to kick off? And what should we do? Do you think we should call people out? Call one other person out and see if they can beat them on that attribute or do it. And then I'll do like next person, last person standing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Can't use the same thing twice, I guess. Same power twice. You say that?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Tash, you want to...
That sounds good. I have no idea what's going on.
Do you want to call someone out, Tash?
Okay. I call James Bowden out, stamina.
6.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
9.
What card does she get, James? What's she won?
Frosty.
Whoa!
Hey.
Frosty.
Okay, Tash stays on.
I think that's okay. Frosty has quite good stamina in the book, doesn't he?
Yeah, that is a hard. Everyone has.
Yeah,
got...
he's dodging. He's racing around,
yeah,
dodging.
He's
him.
A bad dude, though.
It's probably quite short lived, though, because he's eating mince pies. He's powered by mince pies.
Yeah, very
he's
good.
He's rotund.
Yep. Who are you calling out next, Tash?
Oh, do I stay on?
Yeah, I think so. It's winner stays on.
Okay.
According to these rules I made up 2 seconds ago.
You speed.
Oh, Tash, you're not gonna like this. 10.
Oh, God.
Oh, what have I won? What have I won?
Frankie.
Oh, I got Frankie.
Oh, no.
That... Yeah.
I get to keep Frankie, but Tash has still got the one she won off James.
Oh, dweeb Frankie.
When are we gonna get to
and now I get caught. I'm calling out Jack. What is your spirit?
It's a 9.
Only another 10 for me. Frankie, you can't beat Frankie's 10 for spirit. Oh, but Tash, you're not out yet. I've got Jack's card. What's your card, Jack?
It's Frosty as well.
Frosty, okay. So that means I've got one more thing.
So is it me v you, James?
Yeah. What am I going to
go for? Oh my God, I might win my first ever game.
Frosty.
On Football Book Club.
Oh, not Frosty. I shouldn't say his name. Okay. I'm going to go for a left field one.
Okay.
Skills.
9.
Oh, it's 9 as well.
Ooh!
So I think Tash gets to ask the next question to me.
Oh shit.
I've got 3 to play with. I've got 3 to play with. You're gonna have to pick well.
Oh, you've got 3 to play with?
Yeah, I've got
And I've got to try and beat you.
Yeah, baby.
Oh my gosh.
We all play this every Christmas, right? We all play Frankie's trading cards game.
You need to hurry up though, we're going to miss the Great Santa race.
I'm gonna
There's
go
a man there who's
skills.
Wearing big boots.
Skills. 9.
I'm afraid I've got skills 10 with Frankie. It was rigged. It was rigged.
The house always wins.
I mean, I can't believe I came second in that. I have no idea what I was doing.
But to be fair, I don't have the
I'm going to reward myself after a long year with Ken Zong. It's a fitting one this week as well. Do you remember Tom Buckingham, Farmer Tom, who was on our very first ever Christmas
tree?
Exactly. It was our very first ever Christmas special because he sold Christmas trees to Glenn Roeder. He got in touch. And he asked Ken to write a song about an Arsenal legend. And Ken Zong being Ken Zong, he didn't just write one. He wrote three songs. So
what?
He wrote I don't know why, but he wrote three for this one. So I'll let you choose. Do you want Ken Zong's version of Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is, Whitney, I Want to Dance with Somebody, or S Club, which is fairly Christmassy, Never Had a Dream Come True?
I think...
Oh, no, you go, Tash.
Well, I was going to be festive, we should say S Club, but it's clearly the worst song of the three.
Yeah.
What are we saying the best song?
Instinctively.
Yeah.
Whitney,
instinctively, I want to hear Foreigner, but that's just me.
No, go on.
Foreigner?
I reckon.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Foreigner.
All right, okay, let's do this. I've got to try and remember how the song goes, but I think I do know.
Going to take a little time.
Yeah. In our life.
A little time to think things over.
That's good, actually.
Whoa!
It's just after that bit I come in. In our lives, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if we can face it again. That stops now. He's in our back four. He'll never let you score. I want to know what love is.
Bow, 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 bow.
Emmanuel Aboué. I want to feel what love is. Everybody.
Boo, boo, boo.
Emmanuel Aboué. I want to know what love is. No. We'll come out.
I don't. I love Ken Zong.
Yep.
I think he's a great guy. I don't quite know how that. I want you to show me an Emmanuel Aboué.
Emmanuel Aboué. I think it works.
No, I get that.
I think he would set the task and was just thinking of any song that vaguely. It's a hard name to fit in, but don't worry.
It definitely
don't worry.
Is.
In the bonus chapter, I will tell you. I will sing the other two for you guys. Don't worry.
Oh fuck.
We can get them in there. That is all for this week's episode. But we'll be back in a fortnight. If you can't wait that long, hey, join the Book Club Club on Patreon. Bookworm members of the club get a brand new exclusive bonus chapter episode every other week where we chat even more about the book. It's £3.50 to join. Please do. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. In the meantime, do get in touch with us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Instagram at Football Book Club. Send us your thoughts, your author footballer puns, your Ken Zong requests. As long as they pass the Jack test.
What have I done?
I know.
This Mitchell persona has really taken over, hasn't it?
It has. And good news, guys. Next Christmas, there's only another Frank Lampard book for us to read. Frankie Saves Christmas. I cannot wait.
Does he burst the ball?
Who knows? I think this one's written before. Maybe we've got a prequel.
Yeah,
maybe
it was like, before.
Yeah, maybe we're fine.
Oh.
In fact, the backstory of that dirty penguin. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody. Any last words?
Bring back the death penalty.
Yeah. Super goal. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Balgen. It was created and produced by James Bug. The theme music is the work of Silent Partner and is used in a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We won't be back in a fortnight because it's Christmas Day, but we will be back in a month's time on January the 8th for a brand new year of Football Book Club. We can't wait. Until then, have a great Christmas. Bye-bye.
The Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you,
mate? Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on the pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters, and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. That's the life I choose.
As well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at crowleytime.com.
Have you ever had constipation?
No, it can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Crowley Time!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.